Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Happy Toys Day.
And happy Toys Day to you too, sir. The week has flown by, hasn't it?
Yeah, and it's getting more interesting as we go. Now, it's not developing the way that we might have thought, you know, but then again, maybe it is, and we just don't know. I mean, so far as I know, yet no ship has hit a bridge.
But it came close. It came close at the beginning of the week, the Verrazano Bridge in New York. They don't talk about that, Bill.
They don't. Of course not. No, that never happened, Jim. That was a dream of yours.
Oh, okay. It happens a lot when you're my age.
Only in your mind.
Yes. Yeah. What happened was another container ship almost slammed into the Verrazano Narrows Bridge in New York, came really close, and, you know, it didn't really make much of a ripple in the news. It was like, okay, there was another, I guess it was an accident where a barge hit a bridge out west. I want to say Oklahoma. There's not a lot of water in Oklahoma. It must have been on a river somewhere. But it just seems coincidental that this stuff is happening. I also read, Bill, that the they're now the experts are on the ship, the dolly that slammed into that bridge, and they're checking all the systems to see whether there was some malfunction that they you know, it was, you know,
and
some
if they
weird
find
malfunction.
There was, or they prove it, do you think they're going to tell us about it, or
no,
going to cover it up?
No, we're not going to be told anything. It's nothing to see here. Just move along, you know. That's how they do it. Interesting thing happened yesterday. The Stormy Daniels trial starts, I guess, next week, and President Trump again put in an appeal to have it postponed because he thinks it's an interference with the election, which it is, and also the lawyers wanted a little more time because they've been a little busy with all the other nonsense. But because it's in New York State and the fix is in against Trump at just about every single level of the legal system, and boy, am I glad I don't live in New York, because their system is screwed up. Because of that, the appellate court said, no, the case starts next week, whether you like it or not. So after him, Trump seems to have exhausted everything, you know, released this yesterday. This will just take a second, Bill.
Sure.
He released a 2018 letter from Stormy Daniels, and he wrote on the, just above it, he wrote, "Look what I just found. Will the fake news report it?" That's what he wrote above the letter, and here's what the letter was. It's the official statement of Stormy Daniels dated January 30th, 2018. To whom it may concern, over the past few weeks, I've been asked countless times to comment on reports of an alleged sexual relationship I had with Donald Trump many, many, many years ago. The fact of the matter is that each party to this alleged affair denied its existence in 2006, 2011, 2016, 2017, and now again in 2018. I'm not denying this affair because I was paid hush money, as has been reported in overseas-owned tabloids. I'm denying this affair because it never happened. I will have no further comment on this matter. Please feel free to check me out on Instagram at TheStormyDaniels. Thank you very much, signed Stormy Daniels. That was from January 30th of 2018. So you know what Trump is going to do. His lawyers are going to say, "Your Honor, I submit this for evidence." And they'll say,
"Here's what they're going to do," because it's what they, I think they knew that letter was out there, just like Trump.
Well, how do you deny it? Either you're lying then,
or you're lying now.
And what does that prove?
Well, what they're going to do is they're going to say, you know, because she's already touted that on talk shows. You know, when you deal with Trump, you know, I live in fear. And you know, he's like a mobster. They're going to do the mob thing with him. But, you know, said something out.
It has no standing. You know, when has he ever been a mobster?
Well, he never has. But then again, this is a Democrat system, and they're throwing everything they can. But she said something else in there. I'm not denying this because I got paid hush money. So she admits she got hush money. Mm-hmm. I'm denying it because it never happened. So what she basically said in that previous part is, I extorted hush money out of him, and now I'm coming clean.
Well, you know, she is... What amazes me is that this is the third bite of the apple. She continues to go after Trump when she doesn't need a lot of encouragement to do so. You know, apparently the Democrats approach her and say, "Hey, Stormy, your business, your porn business is flagging, and you're not in demand like you used to be when you were 22. So maybe we can make a chunk of change for you by going after Trump." You know, and so she. She goes along with it. But she did. If she wrote this, I don't know how you get around dismissing the case. I don't care whether you are 100% anti-Trump and you had every plan in the world to lock him up. This is such an open and shut deal. And I think Trump knew that. I think he held this back, that email, like, okay, we're going to try to go to the appellate court, and if that gets rejected, we'll try to go again. We'll go as much as we can to do it through the legal system. We'll show how corrupt they are, how unfair they are, and then after we've exhausted all of that, then we'll just throw this on the table and see how they handle this, you know?
Well, let's put it this way. The accusations out there, you know, hush money is legal. You know, what he's showing is, if anything, it was extortion by her, you know, mm-hmm. to get that. It was just a money grab to get some money, and because that's what porn stars do. They screw you out of money. But, okay, she got that. Now, how the Democrats are trying to weave this is they're sitting there saying, well, you know, he didn't disclose this in his campaign finance and funding that there was this hush money thing out there. Well, he didn't have to, number one. But what that comes in, they skirted in New York as a Class E felony, which mm-hmm. is the lowest of the low, 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 really doesn't hold anything. They're going, well, if we get 34 counts and do the campaign thing, then it becomes each of those becomes 4 years of incarceration. And I bring that up only because, you know, the judge shouldn't be in the case. This case shouldn't be happening. That letter is one other reason. If you're an intelligent person, you know it's a sham, and you know it's all Democrat judges. But what do they want to do like they did down in Georgia? Let's get them in a picture in jail a jumpsuit. Yeah, what happens when you are in a federal court and you lose on felony count?
They take you out in shackles.
They handcuff you, and they escort you out. They might let you turn around and say thank you or whatever. But they won't do that.
Well, here's the thing, Bill. I've heard that they have a little bit of a problem here because the Secret Service, they've never gone through this before. They've never had one of their protectees, you know, arrested. So there's been talk that they're going to have to put the Secret Service in that prison to protect him while he's in prison if he goes to jail.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of they want to get the optic, and then they want to get the trumped up indictment because then they can do amendments and things mm-hmm. and say that he could never run because even if you're falsely convicted, here's the problem. Well, let's say that you overturn it and say, oh, this is all a sham. Mm-hmm. Even in an expungement, it still sits there on the record. It lingers.
Yeah.
And
He won an appeal, but he was found guilty initially.
Yeah. You know, you got a gouge in your arm. It's healed up. That's like going in, it was your apparatus that caused this wound. It's healed now. I don't see what the problem is. It left a big scar. Yeah, that's your problem, buddy. And that's
Bill, and don't think for one second this whole thing isn't being orchestrated out of the White House.
Well, let me ask you, here's the more pertinent question. And maybe the Democrats haven't thought about this. They know how their sycophant base will go, "Woo! They got him now! We got him!" Okay, your little cheer party you'll have fun with it. But what will the people that support and love Trump, and maybe love is too strong of a word, but they are with Trump, that he is the guy for the mm-hmm. job, as many people have said, He's the one that can fix this, and he can build back.
It will steal. It will steal their resolve, as they would say. They will become even more supportive of Trump.
Well, what would you? What will happen on the day that they have on all the news Trump being locked up and taken away as a lowly felon, and then you have, you know, all the news cronies sitting there going, well, we saw it coming. He's just a scoundrel, you know.
It's scary to think about it, Bill, because it could be a very upsetting day for a lot of people.
29 states, that's over half the country, have no permit open carry laws. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to get a revolution or a revolution's going to happen, but I'm saying that should tell you right there, 29 states and growing are saying, no. We have the right to bear the arms, carry them openly. And the reason for that is we're afraid of what the left is doing and what they're allowing into the country. Do you think that these people are going to sit there and have these rights just to sit there and say, look at that, it looks cool on the dashboard, doesn't it?
Well, let me tell you about the meanness of the guy we have in office right now, okay? This is a little aside. Mm-hmm. The lady who found Ashley Biden's diary, she is going to jail for a month, and then she's going to be on house arrest, I believe, for 3 months, all because she found a diary. Now, I want you to stop for a second and think about it. When has it become a federal offense to find a diary? And even if you find the diary and publish it, if you found the diary, when has it become a federal offense? Never. Until now.
Under Joe Biden. You know, there's a... I'm going to segue into something here, and we'll just get it out of the way. There's a poll out now that says that Biden is trending ahead of Trump, and people believe that he is the one that is going to save Social Security. And they're touting that. The Democrats are touting that. Number one, I'm going to say, you know, Joe, the bumbling, stumbling idiot, is not a bumbling, stumbling idiot. They talk about his impediment, his... that's been a hoax since day one, since he first got into office. But do you know that actually he has been the attacker on Social Security going back into, I think, 1983? He is the one that sat there and raised the retirement age. He's the one that made it now to where you retired 67, and that age keeps going up. There's a push to bring it up higher. He is the one on four occasions that has tried to freeze or reduce or get rid of Social Security. If you don't believe me, would you believe Joe?
We have before us the balanced budget amendment, about which many of us have expressed serious reservations, the effects of which are, in both the short and the long term, cannot be predicted with any degree of certainty. We'll hear a good deal of hyperbole on this amendment, promises by those that it's going to cure all, and promises by those, if it passes, that we're going to go to hell in the handbasket and rapidly, and all our liberties will be taken from us. I hope we kind of keep our eye on the ball here and at least have an open mind to the prospect that we can make this amendment better and still have an amendment. I'm sure someone has looked out over the next 15 years and concluded if we stay on the track, even the one predicted by the President of the United States, that we will be providing for an increasingly larger share of every tax dollar just to go to reduce interest on the debt. And to me, that's the driving force behind this amendment. When I introduced the budget freeze years ago, the liberals of my party said, it's an awful thing you're doing, Joe. You are all the programs we care about. You're freezing them. Money for the blind, the disabled, education, and so on. And my argument then is the one I make now, which is the strongest, most compelling reason to be for this budget, this amendment or an amendment. And that is that if we don't do that, all the things I care most about are going to be gone. I mean, whatever happened to that old conservative discipline about paying for what you spend? I'm up for re-election this year, and I'm going to remind everybody what I did at home, which is going to cost me politically. When I argued that we should freeze federal spending, I meant Social Security as well. I meant Medicare and Medicaid. I meant veterans benefits. I meant every single solitary thing in the government. And I not only tried it once, I tried it twice, I tried it a third time, and I tried it a fourth time. Somebody has to tell me in here how we're going to do this hard work without dealing with any of those sacred cows.
Okay, so one of the things you hear when you hear him talk about this is how articulate he was when he was younger and how terrible he is now. Can a guy have lost all of that skill in as he's gotten older? I mean, I am probably up in his, not, I'm not as old as Joe, but I'm older, and yet I still can talk, basically. Joe, when you hear him talk, yesterday he was at a function for the Japanese Prime Minister at the White House, and literally a Marine had to hold his hand and walk him around the different area that he had to visit, the different people he had to shake hands with, because he was basically lost, okay? And this is the president. Well, and they want to tell you that, you know, hey, vote for him. He's good for another 4 years.
Is he a brain-dead vegetable and there's somebody behind him calling the shots? If you just heard him, pay for what you spend. Conservative spending, balanced budget. Now, you know, they like to say Republicans are going to cut your Social Security. That was Joe Biden.
Well, what you didn't hear in that bill is that he was also at one time for strong borders. He did talk about it on the Senate floor.
Yes.
He was for and when it was beneficial for him, he was for increased Social Security benefits. He vacillates based upon the mood of the country. He doesn't hold firm on his principles. He will do whatever he has to do to be elected, okay? So at the time he did what he just did, you know, we talked about cutting back on Social Security, he felt there was a mood in the country to control spending, and he felt this was a good idea, so he got on the floor.
He rode the train.
Exactly right. Now, I mean, the guy has gone from one end of the spectrum to the other with no dignity. He just does it, you know?
Well, you know, paid leave, you know, medical leave. You know, now I get it. For when a woman has a baby, you know, she should have that time off. She gets 12 weeks. Mm-hmm. It should be paid, all right? You know, that shouldn't be, it just should be. But mm-hmm. now, you know, men get to get the maternity leave too without the threat of losing their job. Now, in most cases, it's not paid. Joe yesterday said, yep, it's now law. We're guaranteeing that. Now, is this a case of pay for what you spend? Or who's really paying for that? Does the government pay for that medical leave? Or does your employer pay for the medical leave? And if they have to pay for it and suck that up, because Joe expanded it, you could sit there and go, you know, I've had this infected hangnail in my foot. I need some time to recover for this. And it's really caused me a lot of mental anguish. Good, you get 12 weeks to sit there and get that hangnail fixed. We're going to pay you 100%.
Well, you know, all this is well and good, but you know what came out yesterday? The latest numbers on our inflation. And
oh, they're through
the roof. Bill, I'm talking the bottom has fallen out on Bidenomics. I heard a lady this morning on one of the talk shows talking about how she took her family to a diner, not to a fancy restaurant, not to a plush, posh restaurant somewhere with a high-end menu. No, they went to a diner, a family of four. It cost her $89 for dinner at a diner, with tax over $100 for dinner for a family of four. The lady almost collapsed when she got the bill. So tell me, how in the name of God can we sustain what we're doing? You know, people are starting to do to make choices on their payments. For example, you have things you have to pay in the course of a month, right? Well, I'll pay this bill off, and I'll pay the other bill off next month. Maybe they'll hold off for a month. Maybe I'll pay a partial payment on my electric bill, and I'll pay the rest next month if I have the money. people are starting to break their income into little pieces so that they can pay something to somebody, you know, because they're being decimated by the economy, by this administration.
It's terrible. I mean, I was bitching yesterday about the power bill.
Oh, my God, Bill. Yeah, absolutely. I wasn't thinking about that, but we were talking about that yesterday afternoon.
Well, yeah, most people don't realize, like, I have UGI.
Right.
And, you know, UGI used to, they had the plants that produced it. They owned the wires and everything. But, you know, I do remember regulation coming along a long time ago, and we got to vote on it, whether they could raise the bill so much. And then that kind of just faded away. You know, you got a little bit of a hike. But if you notice, your bills are more expensive now, because what happened was is that they sold off those plants to another company. They sold off the lines to another company. So your bill might be $60 of real energy generated. That's what you're paying for. But now you're paying for the distribution through the lines that they maintain, but now lease because they sold them. Get it?
And have you got any option, Bill, to go to an alternate supplier of energy?
Well, see, now that's what they opened up. When they opened up the market,
right?
Where, you know, now I'm going to the Jim Harrington power source.
Yeah.
It's the same power coming from the same plant, but you own it. You charge that power company, like if I have the Bill Knight power company, I get it from you. Then I sell it to the listener, and if I get it for, you know, 50 cents a kilowatt hour, I sell it for 75 cents a kilowatt hour. We're really high, I know, but we're extreme capitalists. And then I go, well, you know, it's going through the line. You're charging me 2 cents for that. I'm going to charge you 50 cents for it. In other words, so that bill of 50 cents now became a dollar because of the distribution.
Unbelievable.
And then it's taxed.
So you really don't have a choice. You really don't have a choice. It's all coming from the same spot, the same place.
It's all coming from the same place. All they are now is a billing office, and they found a way to sit there and screw you and screw you hard.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I mean, it's terrible. You know, I just sat there and I looked at that and I said, well, what am I going to do? What are they going to do? Either way, I got to pay it, so I paid the stupid bill. But I'm sitting there going, single guy, you tell me in a 3-bedroom house, all right, and you think of your power bill, and all there is this computer on, one LED lamp, all the lights are off, I don't cook anymore because you don't cook on the stove or bake when it's just you because you waste the food.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I don't keep the heaters or the air conditioners on. I didn't have the heater on during the winter months. Because I'm going, hey, I like to sleep under a lot of blankets.
Yeah.
You know, it's no big deal. I just, you know, wear heavier clothes around the house. Yes, I do use electricity if people are here or whatnot, but that's how I live. How do you explain a $710 bill?
The other thing that's interesting, the other thing that's interesting is how compassionate and understanding their customer support was with you.
They gave me a lecture. They gave me a lecture on how to save money and turn things off. And I said, ma'am, if you come in my house, bring your God blessed jacket. Because I said it another way.
I almost said it now.
But, I said, you better bring your jacket with you because you're going to need it. It's still cold outside and it's cold in here. And you know?
And after a lecture from her, she basically dismissed you. Unbelievable.
Pretty much, yeah. So, you know, I mean, I don't like to get worked up, but boy, I got worked up
yesterday.
I'll
bet you did.
My blood
but, you know,
was boiling.
I don't think, the thing is, you take your case and multiply it by tens of thousands, and I think that's the situation a lot of people are going through right now. It's not just you, it's a lot of people are getting shafted. Yeah, exactly.
Well, what they're doing is to pay that bill. Now, I'm fortunate I could pay the bill. Yeah, it took extra money, but I could pay the bill. And see, that was the other thing. You know, they're a little bit behind in billing. They're charging me for December. I wasn't here in December. Place was shut down. I was up north, you know. So how and I guess, Bill,
they'll get your money no matter what. If you have a line coming to your house, they'll get you. Interesting thing happened yesterday. Up until late yesterday afternoon, it was pretty much a guarantee that the House of Representatives was going to finalize a bill to continue the FISA courts. You heard of FISA? You don't know what FISA is. Let me see if I got. I want to give you the exact definition of FISA because I have it here in my sweaty little palms. It's the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. It was actually put together in 1978, and it was designed to be able to issue like search warrants and things like that against our foreign enemies. But what happened over the course of the years is our intelligence people figured, oh, well, maybe Bill Knight's talking to somebody who's a foreign enemy. So we'll put a tap on Bill Knight's phone. All of a sudden, it became a tool to use not just against the foreign intelligence people, but against Americans. To people, everyday citizens were being surveilled by this FISA court, right? Well, it was a fait accompli that it was going to be passed again. By the way, Congress was going to do a carve-out. I don't even know what a carve-out is. A carve-out is when they pass a law, it applies to everybody but them. They carve out their exclusion, meaning you can go after Jim Harrington and Bill Knight, but you can't come after me because I'm a congressman. That's what a carve-out was. But the good news is last night, as they were ready to pass this legislation, 19 Republicans stood firm and voted against it, and it went down in flames. So now they're kind of stuck. Now the FISA court may be a thing of the past. I don't know whether they're going to try to initiate the FISA court, try to get another bill coming through. But as it stands now, it was voted down. That was some good news.
They're attacking the 19 Republicans.
Oh, yeah.
Here are the Republicans that voted against your privacy.
Andy Biggs, Dan Bishop, Lauren Boebert, Tim Burchett, Michael Cloud, Eli Crane, Matt Gaetz, Bob Good, Paul Gosar, Clay Higgins, Anna Paulina Luna, Nancy Mace, Corey Mills. I'll get them all in here because there's 19. And Greg Stubbe from Florida. Those are the 19 that stood firm and acted like real representatives of the people and killed the bill. But whether that's the end of it, that's yet to be determined.
It's never the end of it for the Democrats, because if they lose something, they chew it back up and regurgitate it. That's all they do. They spit it back out. They'll keep spitting it out until they get it in.
What gets me, Bill, is there were some Republicans who voted for the FISA court.
Those are the ones you need to know.
Yeah, exactly right.
Those are the ones we need to get rid of. We need to get rid of all the Democrats that voted for it because it's an intrusion on your privacy. Well, I got nothing to hide.
Yeah.
You don't. Do you really know that? Do you really know that you've got nothing to hide? Because maybe you have certain, proclivities that, you've got some sexual diversions or you've got religious.
Or maybe they just want to eavesdrop on you and find something. Because you know what they, I think it was Stalin who said, show me the man and I'll show you the crime. And that's kind of how the Democrats work nowadays. I mean, look at, they took a woman who found a diary and put her in jail for a month. They took Peter Navarro, who did nothing wrong, who he felt that he was protected by executive, privilege, and they put him in jail for 4 months. I mean, they do whatever the hell they want to do down there in Washington nowadays. And, in the meantime, they do worse things and they get away with it. But I got to play this for you, Bill, before I forget. It's a long cut, but it's worth listening to. And it's a video, too. If you get a chance, see the whole video, but you get the gist of it just by listening to this gentleman talk. His name is Tom Klingenstein. He's the chairman of the Claremont Institute. He's a philanthropist, a public speaker, a writer, and a playwright. And he does a video. It's about 8 minutes long, but it really is worth listening to. Tom Klingenstein. Listen.
that President Trump is the Republican nominee for president in 2024, it's time for Republicans, including those who doubt him or even can't stand him, to get behind him. The times demand it. We are in a war fighting an enemy of revolutionaries that kick and spit on America. I call our enemy the woke regime or the group quota regime. This war is a contest between those who love America and those who hate it. But we do not have a commander in chief. You can't win a war without one. We shouldn't much care whether our commander-in-chief is a real conservative, whether he is a role model for children, or says lots of silly things, or whether he is modest or dignified. What we should care about is whether he knows we are in a war, knows who the enemy is, and knows how to win. Trump does. His policies are important, but not as important as the rest of him. Trump grasps the essential things. He understands the group quota regime is evil and will not stop until it destroys America. He is a fighter, bold, brave, and decisive, who has confidence in himself and his country. Trump never apologizes for America. He rightly believes America is the greatest country in history. Trump says, in effect, we have our culture. It's exceptional, and that's the way we want to keep it. And we won't keep it if we usher in millions of immigrants with cultures different from our own. Trump knows his job is to protect Americans, and just Americans. Protect them not just from enemies abroad, but from the woke globalists within. He knows that America does not need more diversity. It needs more cohesion. The woke radicals tell the Trump voters they are a threat to democracy. Think about that. They're saying you Trumpsters are a threat to democracy. The woke radicals also tell us ad nauseum that America is systemically racist. Trump knows this is deadly nonsense, and he says so. This charge of systemic racism bounces off Trump because he has no white guilt, or any guilt for that matter. Trump tells his supporters what they already know. They are not racist, and they do not have white privilege. The woke radicals shut up those who disagree. Trump will not be shut up. If they manage to put him in jail, he will still roar like a lion. The woke radicals have the moral arrogance of fanatics. Trump, God bless him, knows we are all sinners. Trump rejects the utopian fanaticism of the woke radicals. He is a businessman who takes the world on its own terms and navigates by facts and common sense. Trump's base knows firsthand the America that Trump wants to recover. They love him, and they know he loves them. They will fight for him because they know he will fight for them. Trump speaks to his supporters as fellow citizens, without any condescension or poll-tested BS. Despite his billions, he is one of them, an outsider looking in, a man who takes ketchup on his steak and is as disgusted as they are with the anti-America elite. This natural appeal has molded everyday patriotic Americans into an army. We cannot stop the left's revolution and retake the nation without these men and women. Unlike most conservatives, they will actually fight for America. But they follow Trump. Without him, they stay home. With him, they are united and determined. At his rallies, his audience invariably breaks into chants of USA, USA. In these moments, Trump and his audience mutually pledge to each other their fidelity and their sacred honor. His enemies hate him with an indescribable fierceness. Another Hitler, they say. Elect him and he will be a dictator. We should take this hysteria as reason for hope. The America haters rightly fear that Trump and his party are on the threshold of a successful counter-revolution. Trump hates his enemies every bit as much as they hate him. His enemies are America's enemies. Trump is the most towering figure of our time. He has changed politics, not just in America, but in the West. If we are to take back America, we need someone who is unmovable, who has proven that he can stand up against the immensely powerful army of woke modernity that will attack him with all its might. Someone who will go after the deep state without pity or compassion. And someone who has the conviction that America is still the last best hope of Earth. That someone is Trump. Trump, the politician, came out of the blue. An unconventional commander against an unconventional enemy. Most inconceivable as president at any other time, Trump fits this turbulent moment to a T. Is it too much to wonder whether the appearance of this most unconventional man is providential? Lincoln spoke of Americans as the almost chosen people. Trump gives us hope that the God who has never forsaken his almost chosen people will not do so now. Thank you.
That's Tom Klingenstein. I said Klingenstein before. It's Tom Klingenstein.
Very good.
He's the chairman of the Claremont Institute, and he kind of sums it all up. The line in there that I really liked is when he said, he takes his steak with ketchup, meaning Trump.
Yeah, I caught that too, you know.
He's an ordinary guy, you know. Trump,
well, that may not fly in Kansas because Kansas, they like their steaks there, but then they're Americans. But, you know, a steak is a steak. You don't ruin it with ketchup. But, you know, I do.
I do, too.
I do.
Yep.
You know, and a lot of people do. And you know what? It's your dang steak. So, you know, you can eat it any way you want to.
I think that this is the problem that they have with this court case that you were talking about. And you kind of cringe when you think about it, but if they put him in jail, this will be uncharted territory for our country. You know, you and I say we won't do anything. There won't be any upheaval.
I'm not talking about me.
There's a bunch of people.
I don't have any inside information. I'm going by the pulse of America. And the pulse says it's Trump. The pulse says we're tired of all this wokeism going on.
Yeah.
The pulse telling me is that if America doesn't get what it thinks it deserves, they know they deserve, there's going to be one ticked off America,
they have been,
it's a big portion.
They have been kicked in the teeth. I'm talking about Trump supporters, MAGA people. They have been kicked in the teeth on a regular basis by this administration since it began. I mean, Biden, do you remember when he was in Philadelphia doing that speech with the dark red lights on the brick building behind him when he looked like he was doing a speech for the Third Reich? He talked about the evil MAGA people. I mean,
there's a lot of symbolism going on the left.
Here's what Biden thinks of MAGA people.
Look, this is not your father's Republican Party. 30% of it is made up of these MAGA Republicans who, or maybe democracy is something they don't look at it the same way you and I look at democracy.
He has carved us out as being something different than the rest of our country. We're not Americans in Joe Biden's eyes. We're, you know, he said essentially in a recent comment, he talked about the MAGA people as if they were terrorists.
Well, you know what? Either he is, boy, this microphone cable again, yeah. I have problems with. This current Joe Biden, against the backdrop of the Joe Biden that we heard earlier today, mm-hmm. He's an opportunist, but it's not the same Joe. I even question whether Joe Biden is not a guy that's hiding behind a pair of glasses that is basically just a walking, mumbling, and I don't like the word, but I'll just say it, vegetable. Is he that toasted that he was the perfect person for them? Long as we keep him walking and giving the appearance of stumbling, we have stand-ins that can do certain things, we can get our agenda across, and that agenda is not the American agenda.
Bill, do you think he has doubles, body doubles?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I know he wears a prosthetic in the back because when he was going up the stairs, and it was, I think it was Joe, there was a brace in there, and I'm like going, and you know what, having a handicap, and, you know, I have kind of an odd off-ball story on handicap that I don't want to go in a lot into, but I'll mention it. The Boston mm-hmm. Marathon coming up, they got $1.3 million in prizes. The thing that stuck out to me is they have the regular people that, you know, you have a chance to win $150,000.
Right.
Maybe $300,000. If you're a wheelchair combatant in it, you're a competitor in it, your prize is like not even half of that. Wow. So the handicapped people are in there, but they're being, spat upon.
I guarantee you that's run by the woke left. I guarantee you.
And they have the right to put in ringers. They have the right to drop in anybody in any race at any time, which I said, oh, well, that echoes fixed. So the proud Boston Marathon is a sham. You heard that from Bill Knight.
Yesterday during the press conference of the White House, Karine Jean-Pierre was asked about Biden and him thinking about us as being terrorists, bad people, etc. Listen to this.
Thank you, Karine. A couple days ago in Dearborn, there were protesters chanting death to America and death to Israel. Does the president condemn that?
Yes.
Is the president at all concerned that Dearborn is facing a risk of becoming a hotbed of any sort of homegrown threats?
I don't have any intelligence to share with you on that. Obviously, that's something that we're always very vigilant about, but don't have any national intelligence to share with you.
And then,
but obviously, we will condemn any violent rhetoric, which we have been very. I mean, you're hearing from me, right? You're asking me a question, I'm answering it, and we've been very vigilant about, or very consistent about, denouncing that type of rhetoric.
It's so good that we have an articulate press secretary at the White House, isn't it?
Really?
But
she doesn't have any intelligence.
But it goes on. Listen.
Should we expect a statement from the president on that, though? I mean, it was a pretty significant display.
I mean, you're hearing from me. I think that's important. The other part, too, that I do want to be very clear about, you know, peaceful protest is something that the president has also been very, very clear that is important to give folks space to peacefully protest. But any type of violent rhetoric, we are going to denounce.
With all due respect, that's a lot of crap. And now, finally, there's one more piece where Jackie Heinrich just continues to press Karine.
And then on some of the comments he made today, did the president mean to essentially accuse Republicans of murder? I mean, the language that he was using to describe opposition to the Affordable Care Act, the quote was, They want to terminate the Affordable Care Act. Terminate, well, guess what? Killing millions of Americans. Does he think that Republicans are trying to kill Americans?
I think you're taking the most extreme definition or extreme evaluation of what the president said. Here's the reality. The Affordable Care Act, which obviously started in the Obama-Biden administration, the president expanded on that, making sure that people have affordable health care. That saves lives. It does. It is important.
But you're
taking what he said to the most extreme part of your definition or your realization. I know, but let's be really clear. Let's be really clear. People having health care is important. It saves lives. It is important to have that.
Yeah, but the fact of the matter is, Corrine, he was saying that the Republicans are murderers, okay? If they don't pass a certain bill, if they don't support a certain measure that he wants, then the Republicans are murderers. You know, but yet he won't go and make a public statement about the terrorists in Dearborn who were yelling death to America and they want to bring down our government. That was ignored by Joe because, hey, yeah, there are voters up there in Dearborn, and he doesn't want to alienate them, you know?
Yeah, yeah, and you know, a lot of the media are agents of the government. Whoopi Goldberg is an agent of the government. Oh. I mean, Whoopi, according to Whoopi Goldberg, the honky white Republicans want to bring back slavery. No, she didn't say honky.
Yeah.
But, you know,
everything else, right?
She said everything else, so I said, well, let's just go ahead and dot this I.
Well, Bill,
let's put the honky in there.
If you don't mind, move over. I want to back up your bus, okay?
Back it up.
The fact of the matter is, Whoopi, if you're listening, it wasn't the Republicans who were big supporters of slavery historically. It was, dare I say, Democrats who were fighting to keep slavery in place.
Well, now, that's an interesting thing because I was talking to a friend of mine that, you know, is black,
mm-hmm,
and mentioned black people know that Democrats were behind it. And I go, why do you support them then? That was my answer.
Really?
That I got. They.
I think that people are creatures of habit. I think that historically people have done a certain thing and they've passed it on. I give you an example, Bill. In my house, I grew up in the 50s and 60s. My dad and mom were staunch Democrats, and it was almost like a religion. It was almost like a religion that, you know, it meant so much to them, but it was a different party back then. It was a much different party. It was very pro-American, pro-worker, and it was something you trusted as being a patriotic party. Not anymore. Friends, this is socialism.
There's no delicate way to put this, but I'll just say it this way. You know, once a slave, always a slave. The Democrats know that because they keep you enslaved. It's like training, you know.
Well, they think that, Bill, but you know what they're finding out? I just saw a story a couple of days ago that showed that the Democrats are surprised to see that apparently in their polling, they're losing the minority. They're still leading. Don't get me wrong. They still have a chunk of it. But the historic amount that they had, it's being chipped away by the right.
Because they're finally sitting there seeing that, you know what? We can hang on to this all we want or just let go.
Yeah.
Just let go of that. I'm not going to be here to impoverish you or enslave you, but, you know, walk away from that slave master. You know, it's the equivalent of back in the late 1800s when you owned slaves and people that owned slaves, mm-hmm, they would go to their city government and they would buy a tag. Now, this slave is allowed to wear this tag on their clothing and walk freely amongst the people.
Awful. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's the kind of country the Democrats fought a war for. Now, you may say, why would they fight a war for it? It's because their economy was based on that cheap labor. And by the way, who is the guy who's in charge of allowing all these illegals into the country? It's a Democrat by the name of Joe Biden. And where are these people, these illegals, going to work? They're probably going to work in the cheapest jobs, the fields and the factories where they can they can exploit them for their cheap labor. Isn't that a form of slavery? I mean, and
well,
it's
yeah, this is that tag all over again. Yeah. And, you know, yeah, they paid $10 to $35 for it. That's what they cost back in those days. I wasn't around then. I don't know. And I've never owned a slave and don't want to own a slave. You know, any color person, I just don't want
not
to
only
do that.
Bill, but none of our ancestors owned slaves.
None of
either.
Mine. No, no, they didn't. So, and, you know, that brings up reparations. You know, well, you know, my ancestors came over and they were brought over on a slave ship. Well, I'm sorry about that, but I didn't do that. And you can't let old history come forward and dictate how I have to live. I'm sorry, it just doesn't work that way, because if you're going to bring history forward, then let's bring out everybody's past, their transgressions, and your grandpappy was a bootlegger,
hey,
and he didn't do his due time. Well, then you got to do it for him. No, you can't do that kind of stuff.
But Representative Jasmine Crockett of Texas, a Democrat, she has an answer. She doesn't want reparations. She thinks
she wants tax-free.
You took the wind out of my sails. Listen.
Well, that's where I was
just this past
go.
Week,
yeah.
I saw, I don't remember which celebrity, but it was actually a celebrity, and I was like, I don't know if that's not necessarily a bad idea. Mm-hmm. But I'd have to think through it a lot. One of the things that they proposed is black folk not have to pay taxes for a certain amount of time, because then again, that puts money back in your pocket. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it may not be as objectionable to some people about actually giving out dollars. Yeah. But obviously, then you start dealing with the different tax brackets and things like that. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, we argue the reparations make sense, because so many black folk, not only do you owe for the labor that was stolen and killed and all the other things, right? Mm-hmm. But the fact is, like, we end up being so far behind, right? And so it's like, how do you bring forth people?
Gap.
Exactly. And so it's like, if you do the no tax thing for people that are already, say, struggling and aren't really paying taxes in the first place, it doesn't really exactly.
They may want those checks like they got
exactly.
Now, mind you, she was voted into office. She's a representative from Texas. But I have a question for you. If they're allowed not to pay taxes because they're a minority, they're black. How about, for example, the families that lost a family member in a war, okay? Mm, oh, wait a second.
Yeah.
Maybe that's too much. How about anybody who actually went off and fought in a war?
Irish people that were discriminated against?
Oh, I had ancestors who came down a gangplank in New York, and at the bottom of the gangplank, they were conscripted into the military. They literally couldn't. They got off the ship and went into the army in the Civil War. I mean, that's where they had the Irish brigades and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people who've done a lot of wonderful things for this country, and they maybe should be given a break. How about all the veterans right now who are living on the street? Shouldn't they get a big chunk of money?
Well, maybe we ought to just abolish taxes. Let's just do away with taxes. Everybody wins.
Well, actually, there's a lot of people who believe that we could do very well, thank you very much, if we eliminated income tax and maybe just had some kind of a VAT tax, value-added tax, where when you buy something, there's a slight tax. Not a big tax, but there's a slight tax on everything. If there's a slight tax on everything, then you're still paying, the country's still making a chunk of change, but you don't have to pay an income tax.
Well, then, yeah, but you got to go back to that old Biden speech then when he was talking about, you know, conservative values of pay for what pay for what you spend.
I got to tell you, I went to the bank yesterday, Bill, and I was talking about, I was thinking of buying a CD, and I was talking about beneficiaries. And in the state of Pennsylvania, for example, they get you coming and going. If I said, well, what happens if I have my wife as my co-owner of the CD? They said, you die, she still pays taxes, inheritance taxes on it. I said, wait a second. She's the co-owner. Doesn't she just own 100% of it? No. You die, she has to pay your inheritance tax.
She dies, the kids have to pay the tax. That's double taxation.
Oh, they get you coming and going. By the way, that money that you're saving is usually money you've already paid taxes on as income. You know, you've paid income tax on the money. Now you have a little bit of savings. Now you want
to
make that money work for you. You put it in the bank. It makes a little bit of money. You pay taxes on it.
Yeah, you know what? You can check out, but you can't leave. You still owe money. And that's exactly going on. You know, that's the Hotel California.
They say the two things are guaranteed in this world, death and taxes. What they don't tell you is they're both guaranteed at the same time, you know.
Yeah, so what does that mean? You get to the pearly gates and St. Peter's going to be there, Jim? I'm sorry, yeah. But I can't let you in. You didn't pay your taxes.
Exactly.
You
got
to go. Hey, that's what happened to me. They had to send me back to pay my taxes.
Biden was interviewed. That's true. Biden was interviewed on Univision this week, and I want to play a shortcut from Joe Biden, and then we can talk about this. Listen.
From the very beginning, I used to teach the Second Amendment in law school. Mm-hmm. From the very beginning, there were limitations. You couldn't own a cannon. You couldn't. You could own a rifle, a gun, but there were certain things you couldn't. But they weren't weapons of war.
Okay, what is wrong with that statement? Everything.
Yeah. Did he ever teach the?
No, you know, he never. He was hired to by a law school, but he never, and it's proven because they did a check on it. He never taught a class.
Well, let me ask you a question here. Mm-hmm. Second Amendment. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
And see that word cannon in there?
No, so according to that, I can own a cannon, well, I can own a missile, I can own a nuke.
That's exactly right. I didn't see a word cannon in that Second Amendment because it isn't there.
No, it is not. Well, they couldn't foretell back then. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's so many violations of the Constitution. I saw a picture in the news this morning where they're showing, well, these are the documents in Trump's bathroom. Number one at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
That is a historic estate that he bought, restored, because he got a very good deal on it.
It was Marjorie Post who was the person who owned, inherited the Post serial, owned that. She built that mansion, Mar-a-Lago.
To dine and wine and dine people.
Yeah, exactly right.
And when I guess the government got it, and then they tried to sell it, and Trump came in and said, "No, I'm not going to pay you that." And then in desperation,
and I think it was pretty run down, and Trump actually went in there and just brought it back up to where it is now, which is a palace, you know.
That is a big place. Are you telling me, please correct me if I'm wrong, are you telling me there are no storage closets or facilities in a place that big that was like a hotel? No,
hey,
it was so...
They probably have secret compartments in the walls in some of those places, you know?
So they stacked everything... You know, this is like a cheaply made Cheech and Chong movie, you know, because they used to do their, hey, man, let's do this scene here, because they would write it as they went. These guys that went in there, they said, oh, the public won't believe these boxes in the back. Guys, move those boxes into the bathroom.
They are desperate to put Trump in jail somewhere, somehow, sometime. They are going to, trust me, folks, this New York case, He's going to be found guilty. He should be thrown out. We talked about it at the beginning of the podcast. But they will find him guilty because they've already found him guilty.
Fourth Amendment.
It's as they would say, a fait accompli. I want to play one more cut, Bill. This is Sheila Jackson Lee. Sheila Jackson Lee. Ah, yes. She was speaking at a function, I think, at a high school. And she was once, would you believe, on a panel that oversaw, I believe, NASA. So she obviously is somebody who's very well versed in space science. Listen.
Provide unique light and energy so that you have the energy of the moon at night. And sometimes you've heard the word full moon. Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon? Are the gases such that we could do that? The sun is a mighty powerful heat that is almost impossible to go near the sun. The moon is more manageable, and you will see you'll see in a couple of years that NASA is going back to the moon.
You know, she's not a very nice lady. She's very tough to her staff. I don't know whether people realize it. She's nasty to her staff. And she's as dumb as a box of rocks. I'm sorry. That has nothing to do with...
A full moon and gas should not be used in the same sentence.
But the fact of the matter is she says that the moon is made up of gas, okay? And, I mean, I'm sorry. I wasn't the sharpest kid in science class. But even I know that the moon isn't filled with gas. It isn't made up of blue gas.
Cheese.
It's exactly right.
Which smells like gas, so that's the confusion.
Oh, my God.
You got the cheese. You got the cheese.
What's amazing is there are people standing on this football field that I think it was at a high school function in Texas, and they're probably nodding their head like, oh, yeah, she's got it right. Yeah, it's made of gas. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
The failure of our educational system. But she's been a representative, Bill, for like 25 years. She just won't go away. She ran for mayor of Houston last year, and I think she lost big time. So I guess they figured, look, we got her out of the state. Let's keep her there, you know.
Keep her somewhere, but I don't know. Anyway, gas in the moon, that's kind of crazy.
Another thing we should look out for, and they're talking about this within the next 24 to 48 hours. I don't know if you saw this. Iranian Ayatollah Khamenei has said that the Zionist regime made a mistake of attacking the Iranian diplomatic mission in Syria during his comments on Wednesday, and he said they're going to pay for it. And now I guess people are speculating that we can expect an attack on Israel by Iran within the next 24 to 48 hours.
I believe that, but there, you know, there's something else in the military.
On Israel, by the way. Did I say attack on Iran? I meant attack on Israel.
Yeah, Israel, yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and because there's a lot going on there. I'll put this away for another time, the Fourth Amendment, because I was going to say something about the Trump documents. But read the Fourth Amendment, and you'll go, why is he being the documents in the bathroom? But a special program for the armed forces that began in 2021 at the John F. Kennedy Special Warfare Center. It's for special forces. Mm-hmm. Now, they're training to be in the theater of war with who they think they're going to be fighting with. And this was back in 2021, so this is really a Democratic project. Mm-hmm. This wasn't done by Trump, as far as I know. But they had to learn how to speak Ukrainian.
Well, that doesn't surprise me because, you know, we have to be politically correct. You can't expect the Ukrainians to have to learn how to speak English.
Green Berets have to know how to speak Ukrainian, Ukrainian because of their special force training, because they're going to be working with them maybe in the future. That's 2021. And we're saying right now, no, we're not going to be sending troops over there. Well, it sounds to me like this whole thing was staged and foregone way back about 3 years ago.
Do you think there's going to be an election in 2024? I mean, we've got, what, about 8 months between now and the election? Wait a second. May, June, July, August, September. Yeah, about 8 months between now and the election. Do you think, I'd use my fingers to do that, friends. Do you think that we're going to have an election? Will there be some reason for the administration to postpone it for the safety of the American people? Are they going to bring us to some kind of a international crisis? Or maybe the brink of war, if not war by, you know,
well,
for real.
Let me put it in simple terms. We're either going to give birth to some kind of new democracy, or somehow it's going to be aborted between now and then. That's something even a Democrat can understand.
You think there's a possibility that we might have a new government in place between now and election time?
Well, we either have a new government or we vote one in, or the somebody has got a coat hanger in their hand and they're going to try to sit there and make sure that this election ever happens. I'll just simplify it as much as I can. You know,
that could happen.
Graphic, I understand.
No, it could happen, and I don't think that they will do anything on the left to keep Trump out of office, because they know if he gets in, everything that they've done, all of their plans will be for naught. It'll be as simple as that.
A lot of Democrats believe that it is their job to get Trump at any cost. they don't even know what they're doing or why they're doing it. You know, it's just like it's like Whoopi. She's just a trained puppet. You know, yeah, them white people in the Republican Party, they're going to put us back to slavery.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, that just shows you how foolish she can be. You know, people say they give too much credit to actors. I was thinking about this. I don't know whether people realize this or not, but up until as recently as the 18th century, the 1700s, actors were kind of looked down upon. Like, oh, you're an actor. My God, I'm serious. Because it was the way the profession was considered. It wasn't until maybe the mid-19th century, about the time of the Edwin Booths and the like, that people started to give them a little more deference. And then when the movies came along and all of a sudden they were on the big screen, they became larger than life and they became, quote, stars. And you know, along with that stardom, they started to believe their own press clippings, these actors. They started to think that, well, I must be really smart. But if you look at what they do for a living, their main achievement is to look at somebody else's dialogue, somebody else's action, memorize the dialogue. That memorization can be tough. But even nowadays, by the way, I should point out that some of the actors, they learn their lines like a page at a time. That, you know, we're going to do one scene here. It's going to take one sheet of paper. Just make sure you know the lines on this sheet of paper. And the guys will memorize that sheet of paper. They're not the smartest or the sharpest tools in the shed. So when you hear about Whoopi Goldberg talking about slavery and stuff like that and give her all this deference because she's an Academy Award winner, it doesn't mean as much anymore, okay? I mean, I'm somebody who I love motion pictures. I love the tradition of movies. I've been a big fan of some of the classic films from decades ago. Some of the stuff that's out now. I mean, if I see another one of these Ninja Ranger movies, or you know, Man from Mars, or Aquaman, or Aqua Velva Man, or whatever, if I see any more of this stuff, I'm gonna be sick violently. So. Anyway, I could go on and on, but the point is, if you hear an actor talking about something or giving their endorsement, shrug it off because they're not they haven't got that much weight, you know, not as much as they think they have. Anyway, yeah. I guess that's about it, Bill. I've ranted and raved. You got anything else you want to add before we wrap this up?
I was going to ask you a question. Has Joe Biden's meals and wills landed at your doorstep yet?
Not yet. No. As a matter of fact, I was hungry yesterday. I was waiting for them by the door, but they never came by.
Yeah. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's Joe is for, and it's kind of cute, but it's not enough. They're going to houses, you know, the presidential limousine pulls up, they come out with a pizza or whatever food it is you like. They just know this, you know, because the Democratic Party vets you and makes sure that you're an active voter. And then, of course, they come in with, you know, a couple of 600-watt Klieg lights, a couple of film crew trucks that they hide in the back, and they're sitting there going, okay, now when he comes out, say, oh, he's here. Oh, look, he's got food.
Well, wait a second.
Meals and wills, but
the odds of me getting a free dinner from this administration are slim and none because, A, because of this podcast. I mean, if they've vetted us,
actually, Bill, you might get a visit, though. You might get a visit from, you know, a hired an undocumented alien that will deliver the bill to you for that meal that went to a Democrat.
Well, with that, I think we're going to wrap this thing up. A reminder that we're easy to reach, okay? The easiest way to reach us is to go to our website, all right? This is the simplest thing, www.itsanotherday.com or www.jimandbill.com. I say www. I know that sounds old-fashioned, but we tried it the other way just by saying the, you know, itsanotherday.com, and we were getting some strange thing. But if you put the www in front, for some reason, it worked. So that's and all of our contact information is on our website. Our email addresses, all of our shows. You can access every show we've done over the past
every
2.5 years.
Every stinking thing is right there,
I mean, it's very clever how we've done that, actually.
It's amazing. So I don't even have to give the email addresses anymore.
No, you don't, but you do have to do the ending.
Yeah, well, that's good because I want to do the ending because I have a meeting with the voices in my head right after the show.
It's going to be crowded, that meeting.
Actually, yeah. And if I could get them to chime in with me, it'd be a choir of going.
That's true.
Hasta la vista, baby, 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 baby. We're all out of here.
This is CRN America.